morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and this week my normal co-host Julie Calamines off gallivanting around in the winter paradise of Minnesota. So with me today is Carrie Logan, sometimes guest host of the Thursday morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Carrie.
Nice to be here.
We've got a wonderful show today. We're going to talk about hiking, one of my favorite topics. We have Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Phil.
And Bob and Chris Turner from the American Long Distance Hiking West.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Phil.
And we're on a mission to talk about hiking in general, but also some upcoming events. So we'll get that into a moment. First, we have the weather. We're back into that wintry mix, I think they're calling it this winter, where we're freezing by night, and thawing a little bit by day. A little bit of snow in the forecast, a 20% chance today, 20% chance tonight. Tomorrow it continues with a slight chance of snow, whatever that means. Thursday we move into cloudy weather, and then it looks like a gray blob on Friday. I'm not sure what the weather's forecast, whether U.S. Weather Service was thinking, but it's a gray blob on the
gray blob. The oversoul.
Yeah, the oversoul. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had a great weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting weekend. Good weather. One of the days. And yesterday the sun was glorious. So, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
It's good. We got out and did a little snowshoeing and enjoyed the winter weather. And fresh off of 3 nights of the Banff Mountain Film Festival, how could you not be inspired to go do some adventure? And that's what we're here to talk about today. So Tom's the president of the Idaho Trails Association. Bob is a past president and board member of the American Long Distance Hiking. And Chris is a longtime board member affiliate, I think we would call her, with the American Long Distance Hiking Association. And the third annual Winter Ruck is coming up, and we're going to get to that. But let's hear a little bit more about the organizations and how they fit into the hiking world. And Bob, why don't we start with you?
Well, the original intent of All the West was to form an organization that supported long-distance hiking in particular. The mission statement is that we promote long-distance hiking and promote and support those who support it, which would include the Ruck, and we do a number of other events to help celebrate the long-distance hikers.
Great. And Tom, tell us about Idaho Trails Association.
Well, we're a whopping 7 years old now, formed back in 2010 by some local people. And the purpose of the organization is to maintain the trails that we have today, the non-motorized hiking trails. We just have a fantastic recreational asset here in the state of Idaho. I've been told there's 26,000 miles of trail and only money to maintain about 6,000 miles of trail. And because there is so little money for non-motorized hiking trails, we put together a volunteer organization, and our job is to go out and maintain the trails so when those high-speed All the West hikers come through on their long-distance hikes, they can get through without having to wade across blowdowns and through brush and that kind of thing.
Now, I can verify not all long-distance hikers are speedsters. I know from firsthand experience.
So is there any relationship between hikers maintaining trails and horse riders maintaining trails?
Well, the horse riders, the backcountry horsemen, are very active. And they do some great trail maintenance work. And so we work very closely with them. They'll go out and maintain one trail. We go maintain another trail. That way we don't double up on one particular trail. There's too many miles that need to be done. And so, yes, we work with them. They're a very active group. And so we work complementary. In fact, this spring we'll be doing a project down just north of Coeur d'Alene. They'll do half of a trail system. We'll do the other half.
Yeah, I think backcountry horsemen were integrally involved in the long-distance hiking community on a number of western trails, at least.
Well, I know that the backcountry horsemen also support the trail crews by hauling in the heavier equipment, the axes and the heavy gear. When we've done trail crew, it's usually all packed in by horseback before we get there.
So how did you all get engaged in this sport of hiking, and particularly long-distance hiking or adventuring?
Well, as teachers, we had you know, a good portion of the summer off, and not a lot of money. So we just started going out with our kids when they were quite small, going out and camping and then doing an overnight hike. And then it progressed. It was like a disease. It started off with a 30-mile hike, and then it went to a 60-mile, and then 90, and then 120. Then, you know, and eventually we were on the Pacific Crest Trail, and I remember our daughter asking, well, where does this go? And we had just hiked 120 miles of it, and she goes, where does this go? And we said, well, it goes on up to Canada. No, but where does it start? I said, oh, it starts way down at the Mexican border. And at the age of, what, 10, 12, she goes, I want to hike that one of these days. And we thought, well, great, we just did one section. We'll do that over the years. So the next, well, we did a couple more sections in Washington, and then in 94 we did all of Oregon with the kids. And that, she just was all set. So in 97, my daughter and I took off and hiked all of the PCT in 1 year, and it's been a disease. It's been going ever since.
So tell us a little bit about that, what the differences are when you're talking about section hiking or long distance through hike.
This section hiking takes a lot more. I feel like it takes a lot more arranging. When we did the 120 miles, we had to park a car up at Rainy Pass, and we had to park a car down at Stevens Pass, and you know, do the roundabout that way. And we didn't know enough about Stehekin and things like that for resupply. We didn't know enough, so we carried 10 days of food and did the whole thing in one push. You know, now we've got a lot more information and everything. And if you're doing a long distance hike, it's like you just need to figure out where, how to get there and how to get home.
Why is that? Because there are intervals that are like resupplying you as a hiker. Is that how it works?
On a long distance hike, you have multiple places that you're going to resupply usually. And so you would take off and, we've gotten to the point where now we're just pretty much buying in towns. We found even small towns can get us by for a few more days. You know. But in the early days on the PCT in 97, a lot of those places didn't have food. You'd get to some of these little towns. I remember Old Station in Northern California, and the gas station had more than the little Jiffy Mart, so which wasn't much. So that's changing. All those towns along the trails are becoming much more trail savvy of what they want and the kind of food that the hikers will eat. You know, you're finding anymore, you're finding fewer Pop-Tarts, but you're finding more ramen and instant rice.
Hmm. So it's Old Station, as in Lassen County Old Station?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay. That's where my family is from. Back in the 1800s. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't much bigger now than it is then.
I don't think so. Yeah. It's kind of a blink.
And another thing that's happened along the trails is there's what they call trail angels. And in Old Station, there's a Firefly, Georgie Heitman, and she started in 97. Unfortunately, she started in August of 97, and we passed through there in June and July, you know, so there are a lot more people out there to assist. People that have opened up their houses, their yards, and you can stay there, you know, and it saves a long trip to town. Some of them will even have, you can send your resupply the boxes to.
Huh. I really enjoyed reading your website. That was part of my research to get ready for today. And there was the one description of the Triple Crown. And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the Triple Crown was actually started in, I think it was 1994, and Ray Jardine came up with the idea that at that time, the three big trails were the Continental Divide, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Appalachian Trail. And so combined, it's close to 8,000 miles, and you know, those were the big ones at the time. So if you hiked all three, that became the Triple Crown of hiking. And so they started recognizing people. It's not a solicited. We don't go asking people, you know, come apply specifically. It's if you finished it, if you've done all three trails, we recognize that with a plaque. We do ask, you know, what years you've hiked it and a little bit of information to share with people. In the recent years, we wanted to know, did you go north? Did you go south? Did you do it sections? just because other people are interested in that.
And something that was interesting to me were a couple of hikes that, do you call it a hike when you're talking that kind of distance? Or okay. Yeah. The Timberland and the Wonderland, what are those?
The Timberland, is that the one around Hood?
That's the right. one around Mount right. Hood.
Around Mount Hood, and the Wonderland is around Mount Rainier. I'm not sure the Timberland's distance, at about 60 miles, is that
mm-hmm. something? Yeah, that sounds okay. about right.
And mm-hmm. then the Wonderland's officially 94 miles, I think. That was the first long trip that we did with our kids.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of the other trips you've taken, Bob, and give us the thumbnail resume of your long-distance hiking creed.
Well, like I said, we started off and built up. We've hiked the Wonderland Trail in 91 with our kids, so they were 12 and 9 years old. And we met people on the first day, and here's how things have changed. Met a couple of women. Chris and our daughter met some women, and they said, you'll never make it. You can't take kids on this trail. Well, our kids probably had as many miles as these people total at that time, but of hiking. But nowadays, I think some of the most aggressive hikers in terms of trails and speed are the women. It's incredible.
So that's a good opportunity to turn to the women's perspective on this. Chris, tell us a little bit about it. Sounds like you've been along on most all of these adventures with Bob.
Well, I either was on the adventure or I was mailing boxes to the adventure. So that's, and Alda West also is very supportive of those people who are the helpers that make it all happen from the home front. Bob introduced me to backpacking in college. My family has never quite understood. They think I'm going to grow up someday and stop doing this. My resume. And like you said, that we do have, as backpackers, we have resumes. We put our documents up on the imaginary wall. So I've done 1,800 of the Appalachian Trail in one session. We got hurricaned out by Irene and Lee that year in 13. Mm-hmm. And I've contiguously sectioned hiked the entire Pacific Crest Trail. Mm. From Mexico to Canada, the longest section being from the Mexican border to Donner's Pass, 1,200 miles.
That's a big chunk.
That was a good mm-hmm. size chunk. And then I said, I think I'm done. I've already done from here to Canada. I'm ready to go home and sit at the bonfire. So, but when we started in the 90s, there were very few women. In fact, I remember going to a Forest Service outhouse that had a men's and a women's and being indignant that a trail had been built to the men's but not the women's. And then I realized that, it's because there aren't any women out here but my daughter and I.
It just got overgrown, in other words.
It just got overgrown. Yeah. It was the social, the hikers.
So what's the draw of hiking? We talked a little bit about this before the show started. I'm just really interesting. What hooks people to hiking, either short hikes or long hikes, or maybe there's a difference in the attraction, but maybe from your perspective?
I can give two perspectives. My personal is that, and I'm an older hiker, and as a woman raised in the 50s, you're supposed to be aware of everybody else's needs. And when I'm backpacking, I have to be totally aware of what my mind is doing, what I need. Everything then becomes about me, because if I can't maintain myself and do today's 20 miles and tomorrow's 20 miles, then I jeopardize everything. And I'll still have to walk out. So I have to be totally self-aware. And in the world, we kind of get overbusy. And we forget about ourselves. So for me, that's one of the biggest draws, besides that it's absolutely beautiful to stand on a ridge and see forever 360, and you can see nothing but trees and mountains. It is amazing.
I think it was Benton McKay who put it best when he was asked once about why he designed the Appalachian Trail. It was to walk, to see, to really see what you see.
Yes.
And sort of zen-like, and ahead of his time that way, but If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY-FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning we're talking about trails, and eventually here we're going to talk about a special trail event. We're with Bob Turner and Chris from the American Long Distance Hiking Association West, and Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association. We're running through backgrounds. Tom, I know you've been doing this stuff for a long, long time. I'll leave out the third long time.
What Phil is intimating is that I'm old. Yes, I have, since I was very young, and I've always been an adventure hiker. Hiked the northern part of the Appalachian Trail when I was 14 years old. My poor mother really had a difficult time with that when I would disappear for a month at a time. But Carrie asked a great question, why do it? Everybody has their own reasons, but Chris hit one of the key things. It's just beautiful, and you get to experience nature. You get to challenge yourself every day with that walk, and to get to where you'd like to get to. And the other thing that people don't talk a whole lot about, this is the best diet plan in the world. One of the things you learn when you're into long distance hiking is after you've been out there for a while, you will eat anything and everything. And this is a total reversal to our normal lives where we have to worry about how many calories are in that candy bar. When you're out there hiking long distances, you want the most bang for the buck. You want the most calories per pound of food you have to carry. So if someone, one of your listeners, wants to lose weight, come to the Ruck on February 4th. We'll show you how to get ready, and I will guarantee you, you will lose weight.
So I'm going to just interrupt here briefly and say, if anyone has any questions during the hour here, you can text me at 208-946-9127, and we'll try to get them on the air. Because there's a lot of topics that have come up that people might be new to this inkling of this sport and go, I want to do that, but I want to learn more. And so let's talk a little bit about how to learn more. There's an upcoming event to cover that very precise thing. Bob?
Yes. On February 4th, we're having what's called a Ruck. This will be our third annual Inland Northwest Winter Ruck, meaning that this will be our third year of doing. The things that we talk about this year, we're talking about preparation. What does it take to get ready? Everything from planning to, how do you take off for 4 to 6 months without working or having an income necessarily? We have a special guest talking about nutritionists. Aria Zoner is a certified nutritionist, and he's going to talk about specific nutrition for the long-distance hiker. That's going to be part of it. We talk about food and resupply. We have a special guest also talking about footwear. It was impromptu last year and so well received, we decided he's got to come back again. And then just a review of gear. We'll talk about some of the long trails and some of the shorter ones. We're going to have a breakout session on hiking, as we mentioned, the Wonderland Trail, John Muir Trail, and how to plan for section hiking so you don't have to look at the thousands of miles. And then one of the other things that we're adding this year is giving back to the trails, and that fits with the ITA, the how people that have hiked feel a need to kind of give back. And one of the people that brought this to our attention very much was Clay Jacobson, who's going to talk about the Idaho Centennial Trail. And he was so fired up that he put together pretty much his own team, I guess, mm-hmm. to do some trail work on that one in central Idaho.
So tell us a little bit about the how the Rucks got started.
The first Ruck officially, there's been Rucks actually in Portland for a number of years. And they were more or less just informal gatherings of people, you know, some of the hikers. Portland is a pretty hot center on the West Coast for hikers. And they would get together in the winter and, talk and share about what they were doing, what worked, what didn't work. And then about 4 years ago, I think it was, Alda West decided to try and put together a bigger, a more educational event. And they did that at Cascade Locks. They were encouraged by some folks at Cascade Locks to come there. And so the first year, I think he said there were 40 people. And then the next year there were, and they'd only expected 15 or 20. And the next year, I mean, it's been doubling. And then they've had to go to almost a two-day event now because there's so many people, they can't get through everything. And so the whole thing being, we need to educate these people because, you know, with the numbers that are going out there, we're loving our trails to death. Mm. And we've got to really emphasize the leave no trace and low impact or no impact hiking, getting people to take care of what we've got because it's not going to be there for the next generations if we don't. And so that's another part of our emphasis.
So the word ruck itself is German for backpacking, right?
Correct.
And so the mm-hmm. word has just been taken and applied to these educational formats that people can come and learn more of. Is it also the word used to describe any kind of walks that people go on or not? No?
Well, now there there is an event called Go Ruck, and it's just it was actually set up, I think, for ex-military people, veterans, and it's a kind of like a multi-day obstacle course. They go for various lengths. But again, it's you're carrying a pack the whole time. All your exercise, you still have a pack on your back.
Yeah, I think as a word or a slang term, it's come into different usage. The military's used it a lot for their harder training marches. Hmm. And the trail community adopted it some time ago, especially along the Appalachian Trail for more social-type gatherings. But words like events and organizations and practices evolve, and the state of evolving hiking today is a real interesting one. I think, Bob, you could reflect some more on the increase in numbers just in general and how that impacts the need for training.
Right. As an example, in 97, when we thru-hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, my daughter and I, there were 75 people that finished the trail that year. And that included, according to the Pacific Crest Trail Association, of the 75 people that finished that year, some of those were people who had been section hiking. So it wasn't 75 people that hiked the whole thing in one year. The largest crowd of thru-hikers that we ever had was at Kennedy Meadows, and there were 22 people. And I know that because it was my daughter's birthday, and Chris had sent a box of 20 Twinkies and two Hostess pies, so we had just enough dessert. So,
priorities.
And then we have a picture.
Calories,
yeah. So, and then turn that around in 13, when we hiked from Mexico to Donner Pass, out in the middle of the desert, well, at Scissor Crossing, we were camping under a bridge, and under the bridge alone there were 15 people, and there were probably a dozen tents that you could see from under the bridge nearby, and that's early on in the trip. The numbers have increased drastically. In fact, it's been a pretty much a steady climb. I know that with our numbers of Triple Crown recipients, it's been almost a doubling, not quite now. But it's been, you know, I think in the early 2000s, there were less than 100 people in 2004 or 5. I think we broke 1,000 right around 2010, or 100, about 2010. Yeah. Now there's almost 250.
As the oldest person in the room, having started doing this many years ago, I can attest to the incredible increase in the number of people out there. One of the things that I'm really proud about ALDA West, the American Long Distance Hiker Association, is last year's ruck. They did something, a whole session on hiker responsibility, not only on the trail, but when you got to the towns. And they do a presentation on Leave No Trace. When you go on the Appalachian Trail today, and I was in the Goat Rocks, a beautiful section of the Pacific Crest Trail. When I was there 3 years ago, I was astounded at the number of people going through there. And so it's very important that people not only know about the equipment and how to plan, but how to behave on the trail as well. And that's one of the things that ALDA West does.
So how does this fit in with the two organizations here? With All the West, it sounds like it's an extension of some education work. Tell us a little more about that, and then, Tom, we want to hear the same from the Idaho Trails Association perspective.
Well, again, you know, All the West is really trying to create an atmosphere of responsibility, I think, in the hiking. Not only the rucks, but we have the gathering, which is a celebration. That's in the fall, usually the last weekend in September. We rotate around on the West Coast. This year, I believe it's actually going to be in Colorado. That's a celebration. We celebrate people who have accomplished, you know, who have done some really interesting hikes. Those who have, the big event, of course, is the Triple Crown Awards, which, by the way, Phil Huff is, and his wife are Triple Crowners.
I think we were around 130 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, now it's 250 or 60 something. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the big celebration of, you know, the this unglorified sport does glorify some things. I mean, and appreciate and recognize the amount of effort you put out. And then during the year, there are a couple of events that they do. We're involved in Trail Days, which is, at Cascade Locks, just north of, or just downriver from upriver from Portland. And it's a big event to celebrate the hikers that are passing through. I can't remember how many were there last year. It seems like there was about 40 through hikers that were actually at the Hiker Fest, Trail Fest there at Cascade Locks this last year. And then there's a lot of people come from all around because there's vendors and there's, you know, they get a chance to talk to some of these through hikers. And so we're a big part of that as well.
Tom?
Yes, Phil.
How does Idaho Trails fit, Idaho Trails Association fit into this world of education through activities like the RUC?
Well, let's have the listeners do a little play acting here. Assume that it's a beautiful August day and you're out, the weather is fantastic. If you've gotten up, you're ready to go. You have 25 miles you want to do that day on a through hike. And you've been hiking for a month and you're just hot to move up the trail. And so you get on the trail, you go up 5 miles, and all of a sudden you come around a corner. And that winter, they'd had a huge storm come through, and there's now a mile of blowdown across the trail. Well, there goes your 25 miles. And so what the ITA does, we go and we clear that stuff out. Again, there's not enough money to maintain the trails we have today. The Appalachian Trail's in great shape, the Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide Trail, there's places that need a lot of work. But here in Idaho, we have the Idaho Centennial Trail that Bob mentioned earlier, and Clay Jacobson will be talking about it at the RUC, 900 miles long. I bumped into Clay on the north end of the trail 3 years ago, and he said that I was only the third group of people he'd seen all summer on the trail while he was away from the towns. So there's some of these trails very popular. They're just full of people. And there's some long-distance trails that have very few people. So what the ITA does, the Idaho Trails Association, is we go out and we try to maintain those trails that people want to hike. And many of those sections are in wilderness areas. So we have to train people how to use a crosscut saw, what my father-in-law used to call a misery whip. and so we teach them how to do these traditional trail skills and how to build a trail so that it will last. So our job is keep those trails open so people can have fun. The reason I'm doing this is I've hiked those trails for many, many years, and I thought, time to give back. People say to me, so what's the advantage of joining the ITA? Well, one advantage is if you're a member, you get preference on our week-long trips. We have a packer pack-in. We have people who are nationally renowned chefs who come and cook. We have trail projects, these week-longs, where we guarantee people will not lose weight, and and they eat really good, and we pack the stuff in. the whole idea here is get out in those areas that are difficult to maintain. We use those traditional skills, and we get the trails open.
All right.
So I have a couple of, I've been making little notes as we're going along, because some of the things you're saying are triggering some items in my head. What about people with disabilities? What is their access to being able to go out into this beautiful world you're talking about with hikes? What got me thinking that a couple of years ago, there was a really wonderful series on Discovery about hiking Everest. And I was blown away at the double amputees and that kind of thing who managed to get up there, granted with tons of assistance. But are some of these trails accessible?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, okay. I can talk to that. The Forest Service, the federal government, has a very rigid and well-defined description of different types of trails that go from a Class 1 to a Class 5 trail. Class 5 is ADA compliant. Mm. And so what people need to do if they have disabilities is go to the local Forest Service or local BLM, depending on where they live, and those folks can tell them which trails are accessible for disabled folks. And we do work on some of those trails, and we pay particular attention to those because we want everybody to enjoy these wonderful mountains that we have. And so anyway, there are trails that are ADA compliant.
Oh, that's good. And so you're describing some of the trails, for instance, Pacific Crest. Does some of that go through land that requires permits of the hikers, or?
Yes, the Pacific Crest Trail passes through a number of national parks and wilderness areas. What is simplified is that a number of years ago, I think it was the Garfield National Forest used to be the permit operator for the entire trail. Now the Pacific Crest Trail Association handles that, and they can then issue your permits, and that covers the wilderness areas and the parks and everything from Mexico to Canada. It's the only trail that has permits on it that is done in one shot, if I'm not mistaken. I know on the Continental Divide Trail, you need permits, a couple of permits, but you have to stop in at Yellowstone and you have to stop in at Glacier. It's not a one permit for the whole thing.
That's true of the Triple Crown.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would like to say something about the people with disabilities. The Appalachian Trail is the oldest trail. It was the first National Scenic Trail. And it is actually the only trail, National Scenic Trail, that is under the auspices of the National Park Service, the Department of Interior. And so it's actually the longest national park because it's all under that. There have been a number of blind people who have done that trail. And having done that trail, I don't know how they did it. That is a very challenging trail. Don't let the East fool you with mountains. The highest point, I think, is 6,200 feet at Mount Washington. That trail is not a cakewalk at all. I would say it was overall more challenging than some of the other trails physically.
It was built before switchbacks were invented.
Yes. Right. People back east don't know they don't understand switchbacks. That's right.
Yeah, I think when it comes to disabilities, it's important to recognize, too, that just as those double amputees going up Everest wouldn't look at that as a trail not available to them or accessible to them. There are programs like the Wounded Warriors Hikers who've done the Appalachian Trail and the Continental Divide Trail with wounded veterans. Mm-hmm. And so some of the answer to this question is also in the eye of the user and how limiting they themselves are. Mm-hmm. So I think on that topic, we're going to take a short music break here. Then we're going to come back and talk more specifically about the ruck coming up. But before we do that, Bob, do you want to give the listeners just a quick who, when, what, where? When's the event coming up?
Okay. The ruck is in Coeur d'Alene. It'll be on February 4th. It's held at an auditorium at Lake City Church on Ramsey Road. We will start the event at 9. So if you get there earlier, you can get in and get seated. But we will start promptly at 9. It'll go to 5. We have muffins and coffee for morning, and we'll have a baked potato bar for lunch, snacks in the afternoon, and then event itself will just kind of run back to back to back, move right along. There's a lot of information. We've actually added an hour to the event this year over the last 2 years.
Registration is online, and you need to go to American Long Distance Hiking Association West, AldaWest. .org.
So we're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about long-distance hiking, adventuring, and the ruck with Tom Dabrowski, Chris, and Bob Turner. Right now, we're going to listen to a little bit of James Taylor's Walking Man.
Moving in silence. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
James Taylor with Walking Man seemed appropriate for the day. We're back talking about walking, particularly hiking and long-distance hiking, and we're going to look a little bit more at an educational event coming up called the Ruck. Bob, give us the details again.
Okay, at the Ruck, we're going to focus on just a couple things, food, gear, and preparation. That's pretty much everything you need, I guess. The point of the thing is to help people look at it differently. One is that we're doing something different this year. We have a very experienced triple crowner, ultra lightweight. His pack, base pack, is about 6.5 pounds.
Six and a half.
That's his pack, his sleeping bag, pack and sleeping. That's the tent and or sleeping bag and or tarp, whatever he uses. And then we have a rookie that is going to do the PCT this year, who attended last year and got so fired up, she's decided she can do this. And her pack weight, every time I talk to her, her pack weight has gone down. And I think she's around 11 pounds now. And that's outstanding for a novice. I mean, I'm still higher. My weight is more than that. And then we have another person who has thousands and thousands of miles. And Leland is... not a lightweight packer, a not so light packer. So we're going to give a perspective, and people can take what they want from each, because we all have things that we, you know, comforts we don't want to give up, or things that we feel are always necessary. This is an option and an opportunity to see what people think are necessary and not necessary. So,
how about ibuprofen?
How about ibuprofen?
It's worth its weight in gold.
Vitamin I.
Yeah, it's trail currency.
Who should attend? Who do you think will be attending?
Anybody that's interested or even entertaining the idea of a long hike. Now, a long hike is kind of ill-defined. We considered the hike around Rainier a long hike because we had to be aware of resupply. It was going to take us 12 days to go around the mountain. And, you know, so it takes a long hike really takes additional planning of how are you going to fit all the pieces together. Anybody that's ever entertained that. Now, if somebody's out there that's going, well, gee, I'd just like to start hiking. I'd like to go up to some mountain lakes. We can give you the things that the long distance hikers do will benefit you, because the big thing is, what do you and don't you need to take? And if you go to REI, you go to some of these places and they're telling you, well, you know, here's your mini espresso maker. Well, that's great, but do you really need that? And there is no right and wrong. And we also want people to understand that. But the things that you want is planning. Part of Leave No Trace is planning, being fit, being ready, and knowing what you need to take.
It's also not, it's not only about equipment and gear, but it's about strategies and how to do some of the resupplying things, right?
Right, right. And to see the variety of people that do this, you know, it's as variety as human nature. We're not all athletes, and yet there are some people out there that I have total respect for, and you'd never think that they could hike 10 miles.
So tell us about some of the presenters who are coming.
Okay. We have Area's owner. I think I mentioned him before. He is a nutritionist. He'll kind of get us going on the food issue from the perspective of long-distance hiking and nutrition. The panel that we have that will be doing the preparation, the food, and the gear is Zippy. We all have trail names, I think. Zippy, Mig, and Leland. And they'll represent the mixed panel for all three, so we get a good perspective. And you'll what's really interesting is when you talk to these people, you pick up on their enthusiasm, and that's part of what you find is when the hikers get together, we're all enthusiastic about what we do. But and then Clay Jacobson, we'll have Clay there for a presentation on the Idaho Centennial Trail and his passion for giving back to the trails. So we'll have also a precede that with chance for the Idaho Trails Association to present, tell people what they do. Hopefully, chance for people to say, hey, I could do that and go sign up and get involved now. And we have the Washington Trails Association.
So if somebody can't make the ruck, what are the resources that are available to them to gain some of this knowledge and learn how to help?
Well, there's always the internet. I mean, that's the simplest thing. Trail specific, you can go to any of the national scenic trails basically and get a lot of information, books, data books, guides, trail maps, all that. Again, a lot of websites out there, Lightweight Hiker. Yeah.
And there's information on the Alder West website on some of the content.
A lot on the Alder West. And we're hopefully trying to get more up there. So.
And to sign up for trail projects, Tom, I'm sure there's a resource for the Idaho Trails
there
Association.
Yep, it's the IdahoTrailsAssociation.org, IdahoTrailsAssociation.org. We've already planned 7 week-long trail projects this coming season and probably another 21 or 22 days. We'll be doing a number of projects up here in northern Idaho, but those 7 week-long projects will be in Idaho's wilderness areas. And so beautiful scenic area. And again, remember, we guarantee you won't lose weight. So the food will be good. One other thing, if I might add, on this whole business of equipment and resources, if the reason that this ruck is so valuable, these are people that have hiked literally thousands of miles. So they've done the proof testing on equipment. And it's all part of this new ultralight wave of cutting weight. When I used to do a lot of long-distance hiking, I was carrying a pack that weighed 40 pounds. My base weight now, and I have to tell you, I believe in comfort, but my base weight's now 11 pounds. Mm. And it will make a huge difference. Instead of carrying this elephant on your back, now you have a light puppy on your back. And so it's so much nicer. But if you come to the ruck, you'll be able to talk with people that have tested this stuff over literally thousands of miles. It's invaluable experience.
Yeah. Part of the change is the technology itself has changed, the improvement of materials, but also the strategies, learning how to do things in a more effective way. And where the sweet spot is, for some people, I personally like a pack weight that's around 14, 15 pounds because I like a few luxuries, but mm-hmm. there are some sacrifices with that, just as there are sacrifices with going at 6 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So is it safe to assume that as equipment gets lighter and more technologically advanced, it gets more expensive? I guess my question is, what is the affordability factor in doing these kind of things?
Well, an interesting thing about that, in the last 4 years, I've replaced my sleeping system and my shelter system and my pack. Before that, I used the same sleeping. I'm also a mountain climber and have climbed mountains all over the place. And I used the same sleeping bag for 30 years. So if you go buy one of the best sleeping bags you can get today, it's probably $500 to $600. But if you think about amortizing that over 30 years, believe me, your happy back is worth it.
But some of it, too, is just strategy. You can also go and outfit yourself at an Army Surplus store or Kmart, Walmart, Costco with things that may approximate some of the lighter weight stuff and do it on the cheap.
Well, and just the rethinking what you do. When we started out backpacking in the 90s, we had a knife, fork, and a spoon. Now, and they were metal. Now it's a plastic spoon. There is no fork in my backpack. Yeah. And my knife is a little teeny tiny army knife. There's no extra dinner knife. There's no coffee cup. You go to town to get coffee. Yeah. That's my opinion. But other people I know will carry the coffee.
The original long-distance lightweight hiker was Grandma Gatewood, who in the 50s took her red Keds, a knapsack, and a shower curtain. And that was about all she had for gear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even just the process of weighing your T-shirts. Oh, this T-shirt weighs an ounce and a half less than that T-shirt, and they both have the same technical fabric, so I'm taking the ounce and a half less. So that's all cumulative, and that's what I learned from all the West.
So we're running a little short on time here. We have time for any additional information you have, and back to the details, too.
I'd just like to remind people that the Ruck will be in Coeur d'Alene at Lake City Church. That's at 6000 North Ramsey Road, Coeur d'Alene. And register online at Alda West. It's aldhawest.org/Ruck. That'll take you right to the page. You can find it by events on the homepage if you want to look around. And register. It is $10 for members. Now, we include members that include the Friends of Scotchman Peak. We have the Idaho Trails Association, Washington Trails Association, and the Spokane Mountaineers have all been very active, and so we support them and consider them members as well. And then if you're not a member, it is $20, and that includes your meal. There will be a social hour afterwards at another site, non-host, that we'll explain more at the Ruck, but go ahead and get signed up now.
And this includes people who are not just potential through hikers, but people who are backpackers. If you can make it on February 4th, you need to come. The information is fantastic.
I was just thinking, I'm glad you brought that up, because you can be a backpacker, maybe you're a hunter. You know, and you're going out into the woods and you're there for a week or 10 days backpacking. And this kind of information would be invaluable about how you can cut your loads hiking up there and all that kind of thing.
It'll make your life better.
Yeah. Awesome.
All hiking experiences could be considered a long distance hiking experience, depending on what your definition of that is, and could benefit from these strategies.
Correct. Yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
No, just like to remind people to sign up at aldawest.org. And get on our list.
Well, we want to thank you, Bob and Chris and Tom, for coming in the studios today and sharing your knowledge and your passion. And as a hiker involved in these communities, these events are wonderful. And I'd encourage anyone who has done long-distance hiking or is considering it or just wants to learn more, come be a looky-loo even. It's a great event, and look forward to seeing a lot of people I know there on Saturday the 4th. We're going to go out with a little bit of Walking Jim Stultz. Certainly infamous in the long-distance hiking community. His song, All Along the Great Divide, or his hike of the Continental Divide Trail, it's always been inspirational to me. Thank you again for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting KRFY.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
Walking Jim Stoltz, all along the Great Divide, about his hikes along many divides, but particularly the Continental Divide. And we had a great show this morning.
It was a wonderful show, very informative for me.
Yeah, learning a lot about hiking, which a lot of our listeners enjoy.
That's right. Very outdoor community, as we know. Yeah.
So if you are just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Pondere. As always, our broadcasts are available live streaming audio. So if you're out of town for a future morning show, you can go to KRFY.org and listen to us live streaming. You can also listen to podcasts of each and every morning show. Most each and every morning show. We get 99% of them, I think. Speaking of morning shows, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Joan hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez as they interview our two new county commissioners.
So that's Dan McDonald and Jeff Connolly?
Right. I believe they're both coming into the studio. At least that's what the reader board says.
Nice.
So it'll be a great opportunity to get to know them a little better. And then on Thursday, you're back, Carrie, aren't you?
I am. Jack and I are going to be talking to the local Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Which will be a lot of fun. Then mm-hmm. We're back next week. Julie will be back. And I'm not sure quite yet who our guest is, but we always have a good lineup. So we appreciate you listening and hope you join us in the future. We're going to go out with a little bit of Eddie Fisher, who unfortunately lost his daughter, Carrie, last month. But he has a very appropriate song for the day, I'm Walking Behind You. So a little bit of Eddie Fisher.